Monday! Open wide dev fans! Get ready to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, Node Modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntex on this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be talking about malicious actors and how we can stop them. And I'm not talking about film actors. I'm talking about people using your stuff. So people who are using your stuff and who are up to no good, we're going to be talking about how to stop them from doing their wrongdoing. So my name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, excited to talk about the bad guys today.
Talking about the bad guys. This episode is sponsored by two amazing companies, which is Linode and Sentry. Wes, would you love to talk about Linode? And I would love to talk about Sentry.
I would love to talk about Linode. Linode is a cloud computing and Linux servers or alternative to AWS. Linode is awesome. They have products for literally everything. Probably what you, the listener, want to use is you can spin up a little Linux server real quick. They have lots of images already that you can, like, oh, I want to use Node. Well, they've got a Node image. Just spin that sucker up, and you can right away deploy your Node application to it. They have shared CPU, high memory, block and object storage, backups, managed databases, MySQL, you name it, DDoS protection, DNS management, node balancers, virtual LAN. If you want to host your website or use any of their other services, you're going to want to check out Linode at linode.com/syntax. That's going to get you $100 in free credit to Linode, which is amazing. That's a really good deal. Thank you, Linode, for sponsoring.
Sick. This episode is also sponsored by Sentry, the perfect place to track all of the things that are going wrong on your site, but also potentially make sure that some of your things that you've set in place here with our malicious actors are maybe potentially working or not. Because what Sentry does is it gives you all kinds of logging information for your site about errors and exceptions and performance and more. This allows you to see exactly what's happening on your site really at any given time in a way that makes it so that you can fix things before they are a big, big problem. In fact, any time that I do releases, which of course I got to do releases, everybody's releasing stuff. I got to release stuff. Anytime you do releases of new code, it's always important that you know that your code is as bug-free as possible, where you can get actual messages. If, let's say, you fixed a problem and it returned, you're going to get an email saying there was a regression for that specific issue. You can tie issues to specific releases, users, GitHub issues, all that and more. Check it out at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll get 2 months for free. Thank you so much to both of our wonderful sponsors today, who are not malicious actors. Wes, malicious actors. These are the people who are coming into your site and they're trying different things. They're plugging and playing in your API. They're hitting your site in all sorts of ways. They're trying to test your site in different types of ways. Let's talk a little bit about what kind of bad things can happen to your application first and foremost, and then let's talk about some of the solutions.
Yeah, exactly. So you talk about malicious actors. Is somebody comes to your website and they want to abuse the features you have for the well-intentioned people so that they can cause spam your website cause you resources or undue stress or any of these things. So what are bad things that can happen? So someone can submit a form over and over and over again, or
send 10,000 emails.
Yeah, 10,000 emails, fill it with stolen credit card data, or literally just run up your database so the thing falls over. Someone can submit directly to your API. So we've talked about this many times in the past. We've had shows on how to do this. People will open up the network tab and look at what API endpoints you are using and try to reverse engineer all the documentation for it. And if they have access to that, it's not necessarily a bad thing because that's how websites work. It's all public. But if they can use that API directly, not as you intended, you could possibly have some downsides to that. Someone could sign up with an email that isn't theirs. Someone can abuse a resource that will cause strain on your server. That's generally called a DDoS attack, where you visit a website that takes a little bit of energy from your server to load that page. Okay, now do it 1,000 times per second. All right, that's starting to get, oh, it's that TikTok. Oh, that's a lot of slices. Okay, now do that 100,000 times a minute. That's a lot of slices, you know? That will cause your website to fall over. Someone could spam public-facing things. Like anywhere you have a website that people can type in and post a comment or review or literally anything, they can fill that form up, or they could put JavaScript in there that will steal your passwords, or you name it. So
this affects everyone. And it's to give you just a scope about how, you know, how this isn't just, you know, small little website, mom and pop website here. I mean, Google has major issues with this, even in YouTube. I still get a spam comment just on just about every single YouTube video I post. And they're all from different accounts. So there's tons of malicious actors out there hitting all sorts of things, whether it is just sharing links to sites that can infect you with malware, or sharing links to sites that maybe increase some sort of conversion for them or something. I mean, there's always some sort of reason why they're doing these things, and it's not good for you or your users, but everybody here is potentially at fault.
So how do you stop these people from doing malicious things? Well, without having to hurt your proper users. And there's always a little bit of give and take. Probably the most straightforward one is that we sometimes have to select boats or stoplights from a CAPTCHA because the world is broken, and there are people that will abuse that, right? So you have to, there's like a fine balance between annoying your good users and stopping the bad people from doing things. So first one is rate limiting. And what that means is that people can only do something so many times before you say, all right, you've done it too much. So you can rate limit someone by IP address. I specifically do that. And it bit me once because I think I say, like, you can only try do these things 10 times every 15 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. And somebody once had their entire class of 100 students sign up for my course as part of the class. Yeah. And then it was hilarious. One of the students sent me a DM on Twitter, and they're like, hey, our teacher is trying to, like, today's course is takes Wes's videos, we can't get access to it. So someone's trying to share passwords and it's not working. So I was like, oh shoot, like that's a legitimate. There's a school has a single IP address and they need to sign up 100 times in a minute. So I had to manually process those. I said, hey, give me a list of email addresses as quick as you can. And I got them up and running and they could do their class. But again, that's an example of a process put in place to stop malicious people from doing things, and you actually hit legitimate use cases.
Yeah, one thing I do is I have like some functionality that's only for specific users who are logged in, and they would create fake accounts, and then they would have a logged in account, and then hit the thing, you know, 100 times. So instead of banning their IP, I would have a class or a role on the user that would ban, the user would be banned, and their resolver would just return the user object as if they were not logged in. So the user, the robot, the UI would see that the user is not logged in, but they were given no ability to log out. There's no API method that they could access to log out. There's nothing that they could do to log out, or it wouldn't let them re-log in. It would just make them make the computer, the computer or user visually feel like they are not logged in, even though they are. That actually great. Worked pretty well, I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. It's always nice when you can screw around with the people that is doing the malicious. Unfortunately, it's almost never, but it is often bots
just a
that
robot.
Know how to do these things. It's not actually people. It's just someone that's written a bot and they're going to try these 10 things that are known to work on 100,000 websites. And
totally. It's a numbers game, definitely.
Exactly. Also, you can limit by cookie. So that's another one, is that if you don't want to limit by IP, you could say, all right, this you set a cookie and they can only do it so many times. That's also easy to get around. That's how newspaper websites generally do it. You reach your free articles for the day. If you delete your cookie, or open up a new browser or incognito mode or anything, you generally get around that as well. But that's certainly a good way to stop most people that are not necessarily doing things. They don't necessarily know how to clear their cookies or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
These rate limiting things will generally allow you to specify tries and time. So the rate limiting is generally a mix of how many times can they try and what's the period that they can try within. So it's not like you can try 10 times and then that's it. And it's not like you can only try once every 15 minutes. You can say, all right, well, it's like a password. You know, you're trying to type in a password and you get it wrong four times. And you're like, oh, please, please let this be it, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I don't want to get banned. I don't want to have to call the phone number to get unbanned. Exactly. Whatever they ask you to do.
That's another beautiful thing about password managers. That never happens anymore. You just have to pop it in. Other ways you can get around this, silly question asking, what is 2+4? I know my kids specifically have this on iPad apps. This is not to stop malicious actors, but it's a great way to... make sure that the ad is actually a human from going forward. So you can simply ask, like, which one of these animals barks? With AI, those things are starting to get much smarter. But again, most cases, these people don't have AI.
Yeah. The shadow ban is kind of what I did, where you're banning a user and almost they don't necessarily know that they're banned, right? That's what I think of as a shadow ban. It's like basically you're removing their features, but to them, they don't see that as their features are removed necessarily, or they can't tell. You know, Reddit does a lot of like shadow banning or banning, I think, really well.
That's why if you go to Reddit and it says like, 8 comments, or even on Twitter, you say 3 replies and you click through to it. Yes, and there's only 2. It's likely because whoever posted a reply is shadow banned, but from their end, everything looks like it worked properly. Their Reddit comment is showing up, their YouTube comment is showing up, but in reality, the rest of the world can't see it. And that's very frustrating to somebody who's trying to be malicious.
Totally.
Next, we have tokens. These are called nonce.
I always say nonce. I don't know if that's actually how you say it.
Once, like you can do it once. I don't think that's it.
I say nonce, but yeah, nuance is kind of no.
I think nonce is the actual word. What these are when you load a form. Let's say you have a form to sign up, and that form pings your API of /new user. And to that API, you give it a username and a password. Generally, you'll also need a nonce with that. Otherwise, someone could just hammer that API endpoint directly without even being in the browser. But generally, what a nonce will do is you load the page, it will give you a token, and it says, all right, here's a token. You can use this to go ahead and create a new user. But if you were to try to create a new user without the token, then you're going to have a bad time. Kind of like when you went to a carnival with my kids this weekend, and they tried to like play a game, and they're like, you don't have any tickets, right? So like you're there, you're able to play, but you don't have tickets. So like we have to go to the thing, get a ticket and come back and say, all right, now I have the ability to do that.
Yeah, that's often how you see payment processors work too. Right? You hit your payment API, you get the nonce, you send that nonce to the server, and then the server can process that request.
Exactly. And it's the server, we should say, it's the server is expecting that the token, it can decrypt the token and make sure that that is a token that was issued. In general, sometimes those tokens will be tied to specific IP addresses or any of the other stuff we talked about as well.
Totally. Word.
There's CSRF. We have a whole show, cross-site request forgery. So CSRF or XSRF tokens are kind of similar to nonce. They're tokens that must be sent along with the request. Otherwise, you go to back, listen to the whole show on CSRF. It's basically to stop people when you're logged in from one website and pinging it from another website when there are cores allowances between those websites, but you want to make sure that people aren't pinging your bank account from Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
CAPTCHA, we all know CAPTCHA. What CAPTCHA is.
Yeah.
CAPTCHA is you type in the thing. There's a whole bunch of other ones. The invisible reCAPTCHA from Google is pretty good because it will only pop it up. That's from Cloudflare, right? Or is that just an open source one?
Yeah, I'm going to Google it right now.
It's not. We've done this before. I told you it's from Cloudflare. It's not.
Yeah.
Cloudflare uses it. I use
hCAPTCHA. It worked fine. It worked very well. So, yeah.
hCAPTCHA is nice because the thing about using reCAPTCHA is you're literally letting Google in on every single page of every single website. And like maybe we shouldn't allow that.
I also feel like reCAPTCHA is the worst of all of them in terms of user annoyance. Like how many times have you had a reCAPTCHA that's like select all the stoplights and then you get a tiny little sliver of a spotlight stoplight or whatever. You're like, what? Select all the bicycles. There's only motorcycles on this. What am I supposed to do? You think these motorcycles are bikes? Why am I trying to, pick these things out for you, dumb computer? You know, the one I like the most is the one where you just drag the puzzle piece into the puzzle piece spot. That's the one I like.
Binance was using that.
Yeah. I like that one.
What is that called? I tweeted about it a couple of months ago and someone said what it was. It's a Chinese company. Somebody wrote a bot to detect how to do that in Puppeteer. There's a really good blog post on Medium on how they used machine learning to go past it.
So that one's been broken?
Yeah. Well, like that's the thing is that we love those ones because they're easy. Websites don't necessarily love those ones because
the easier they get for us, the easier they also get for the robots.
Yeah. And the thing, I think you probably hit a lot more CAPTCHAs than I do because you are often on a VPN, right?
Yeah. And every time you search for anything, Google's like, are you on a VPN? Your IP flagged your IP for something.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be really frustrating. So there's always this like constant battle between privacy and the good people want privacy, but bad people also want privacy. Yeah. There is DDoS protection on a lot of hosted services. Cloudflare is probably the biggest one out there. They have a whole lot of special sauce that, I have a feel. I always want to know, Cloudflare, they probably have just this room of people who are part of the seedy underbelly of the internet, and they know all the bad stuff that's going on because. Let alone us trying to protect our little video websites, right? What kind of stuff do they see of?
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
The world banks and stuff. And then the last one is you can ban specific ASNs. So an ASN number, what does ASN mean? Alberta student number. No.
Yeah, I don't know what ASN means.
Autonomous system number. So every time there is an ISP, so DigitalOcean, Linode, Cloudflare, your Comcast, AT&T, every single ISP out there will have an ASN. So whether they are a hosting provider or internet provider, they have a number. And there are a lot of known bad hosts that will allow seedy stuff to happen on it. If you try to, run a script on Linode that is doing some bad stuff, you're going to get kicked off Linode so quick. But there's a lot of kind of underbelly hosting providers out there that turn their eye, and they're the ones that host things like these course platforms that steal our courses and do DDoS attacks and whatever. And as long as the bill's getting paid, they don't necessarily care. And you can go online and find lists of known ASNs, and you can just completely ban them from visiting your website entirely. So that is another trick that a lot of people do. So that is stopping malicious actors. There's just a couple things here and there you can do. It's generally good to put a lot of, especially rate limiting and CAPTCHAs in place before you have trouble with that type of stuff. Because it's not if somebody is going to do it, but when that type of things happen, and you don't want to have to be scrambling when that type of thing happens.
Yeah, you don't want the services that you use to flag you as being a malicious actor because your users are being malicious on your site too, right? You could get kicked off of any service that you're using or anything like that. So you gotta definitely stay on top of these things. And some of them, like the Cloudflare DDoSing protection, is super easy to implement. Some of the other ones, like rate limiting, can be a little bit tougher because you kind of have to implement it yourself, or at least it can be depending on where you host. But these also might be reasons why having a service for some of your backend stuff might be helpful, because then you, a lot of those services have rate limiting built in. That way it's not something you're having to deal with yourself. But yeah, definitely stuff you need to be on, or at least be cognizant of, especially if people are interacting with your application in any sort of meaningful way, that is submitting things to your database or submitting things to a third-party processor, payment processor, that type of thing.
I just looked it up. Cloudflare does have rate limiting. I have never used it before, but that would be... And then what they can do is if you... Okay, somebody is trying too many time, you can throw a CAPTCHA in front of them, be like, all right, you're trying to do something, or you can block them entirely. That's also a really good use for edge functions. When we talked about that, is that people can put rate limiting in an edge function instead of having that logic directly in your API code. You can just write your API code that like it's wide open, and then throw a edge function or serverless function, or in my case, a middleware in front of it, and that will add that logic on top.
Word. Cool. Well, this is how you can prevent bad actors from doing bad acting on your site. Wes, you got anything else before we kick this one off?
Thanks for tuning in. Catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.